Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, October has arrived.
I know. I'm so excited. I love this time of the year. It's my favorite time. Because I can't wait for it to start to snow.
Okay, I was going to ask you the really obvious question, which is, why is it your favorite time? It's October, and you can't wait for it to begin to snow?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's the child in me. It's the Indiana, northern Indiana girl in me.
It's not the Halloween's
on
the way.
In me.
It's not the, you know, all the apples and pumpkins. And,
well, that is also great.
And not all the great things to eat.
As a chef, I love that part.
Not the excuse to kind of like, you know, fill the larder for wintertime and begin to braise things and begin to have more comfort dishes and begin to maybe have a little, you know, warmer upper at the end of the meal, a little cognac or a little whiskey.
I can smell the spices in the air.
Well, why didn't you say that the first time?
Because all I can ever think about is snow, and I realize that has
Chef
nothing
Cindy Wolf,
to do with food.
Queen of the snowball fight.
And Christmas. Well, you know, the holidays. I can't wait for the holidays.
So is there food you want to cook for fall?
There is. There's a lot. And, you know, it's funny. One of the great things about Baltimore is we have a lot of wonderful old trees, and I will be driving along the road and see walnuts or different types of nut trees that we have here. And I get really excited, and I always want to pull my car over to the side of the road and start gathering some of these nuts that I see along the side of the road, kind of like a squirrel.
I was going to say you're going to have to fight the thousands of squirrels.
Right, right. But so thankfully I have a purveyor that will actually bring them to me and I don't have to pull my car over. But anyway,
all
yes,
right, so why don't we do an autumn top 10 list? The top 10 things we want to eat and drink for autumn.
And there's probably 100, but yes.
Let's start with a recipe from you for a nut dish. What nuts do you want to cook?
Well, I love pecans, and of course, being a Southern chef, and I like walnuts too. One of the great things about working with a nut is that it has wonderful oil content, so it imparts flavor into the food that you're cooking it with.
So the freshness of the nut is a big deal.
And oftentimes,
stuff that's been sitting in a can is not the same as fresh stuff.
No, and oftentimes the oil content of a nut is very, very high, hence walnut oil and some of the other oils that we like to work with. So you can kind of you can also think of it that way as well. You know, maybe you're making a little bit of grilled magre or something, and you want to use some of our heartier greens, you know, that are coming into the market right now, and you know, and maybe some lighter greens on the plate with it. You know, if you're using something that's pretty spicy, maybe adding some butter lettuce to it, and then tossing it with walnut oil, and then having a little bit of toasted walnuts to add to the plate, and adding, you know, because you're cooking at home, you can toast those walnuts right before you serve the salad, so you have this wonderful composition of lettuce greens that are spicy and sweet, and then you have warm, maybe grilled magre, thin, nice thin slices, and then you have these warm nuts, walnuts, pecans, whatever you like. I know I grew up, my mother always treasured black walnuts, and I believe that must be something that's very predominant in this area. My family is from York, Pennsylvania, and you know, she used to make black walnut cake. That was a big deal, and I know she used to get real, you know, my grandmother would make
stuff.
It. Oh, yeah. And she always made this amazing kind of like cooked icing for it that I hate to use the word icing, but that's or frosting, whatever you want to call it. Actually, I think it was called cooked frosting.
When the cake is good, you can frost or ice it with whatever you want.
Right. Yeah, right. And so that was something that, you know, this time of the year, and my mom always had, well, we always had fireplaces in our house, so we would often toast nuts over the fire and, you know, eat, you know, crack warm pecans or walnuts or whatever for while we were watching TV or making popcorn over the fire. So those sort of things are really treasured memories for me, and I'm sure everyone has those. Or I make pecan stuffing, which is one of my favorite things to eat. My mother always made very simple, straightforward stuffing with stale bread and onion, sauteed onion and celery, salt and pepper. And I add pecans to that. And that's so good with game birds or with, you know, when, as we come up towards Thanksgiving
your
for your turkey or with your fork or just to eat lots of it. So, you know, that's where I start with nuts. And then, you know, kind of the next thing for me are dried fruits. So
let me back you up 1 second, because we were talking about it. I was looking for a recipe on the magre duck breast, and it sounds like an awesome dish with the greens, some sweet and some more bitter greens.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of the sweet duck with the bitterness and the natural oil from the nut is terrific. And I can imagine people struggling to actually toast them to get good flavor. So what's a technical tip that you would give for, let's say you have nice fresh walnuts and you crack them. What is the step that you do?
Literally put them on a sheet pan in the oven at 300. I would say 325 degrees in an oven that's a still oven. Turn off the convection if you have that opportunity with your oven, and roast them gently. And it's one of those things that you have to stay with them while they're roasting because you will smell them.
Because you don't oil the pan.
Right. You don't. You don't add anything to them. I mean, you certainly could if you wanted to. You could add anything you wanted to them. You know, we do salt or we'll do salt and pepper, or you could do a little cayenne and salt. But honestly, you could just toast them and salt them when they come out. But the biggest thing is getting them off that hot sheet pan once they are to the desired toastedness, which is probably like a couple of minutes in a 300-degree oven.
How do you know?
You're looking for golden, no more color than that. And also, you really go by smell. I mean, they're going to smell good. And
as soon as they smell good, get them out of the oven.
Get them out and get them off that hot sheet pan. So go immediately onto a cool sheet pan or into a bowl or something, but get them off that heat because obviously, that pan retains heat as it comes out of the oven, and it could just be enough heat to take them to the point where they've started to burn.
Well, that's a nice garnish because when they're warm, they're nice and soft. And
right. And the other thing with that salad, what would be good is a little reduced orange or some sort of reduced citrus juice, reducing
some
down
acid.
Orange. Yeah, just to have and a little, like almost to the point of being syrupy, short of being syrupy, so that you could have that acid on the plate with the rich oil and also have that perfume from the citrus, which is, I mean, even just smelling it while you're reducing it in the pan, I think it makes you feel better, you know. So you're going to have all these wonderful aromas in your kitchen while you have, these walnuts or pecans roasting, this orange, this citrus reducing down. You could add lime juice to it, too.
So you're sort of having romantic cooking time while you're preparing.
It's always romantic for me. Everything about cooking is, quite frankly, romantic to me. I one of the first things I tell a cook when I hire them is you're going to learn to use all of your senses, and it is your given gift, and it is your greatest given gift. And, you know, to heighten your sense of smell, to heighten your sense of taste, your feeling, your hearing, your visual, all of these things are amazing tools that we're given as long as we have them. And, that is a great part of cooking. And the visual is as responsible for great cooking as is the taste and the smell and all the other senses. So, you know.
And so I stopped you on the way to dried fruit. Is there dried fruit you're making from the summer fruit this summer? Or
you certainly
the
could.
Autumn things? That's something I did a bunch of at home. So.
Right. My pastry chef canned a couple of things for me, thankfully. I have peaches. I have a couple of different kinds of peaches. We have some plums. Now, those are in liquid.
Now is the time to grab the last
of the plums.
The blue plums. Mm. They'll call them Stanley plums or Italian prune plums.
I would love to dry some prune plums. So those are the Italian.
I did a bunch of jars at home of those where you have them, you put them in a sheet pan overnight, very low oven, like 180, something like that. Just have them, a tiny little bit of salt, a tiny drop of vinegar, and
what kind of vinegar? Just white vinegar?
Just white vinegar or cider vinegar, yeah. Either way. Just a drop.
Mm-hmm.
And a tiny little bit of olive oil and a little bit of grappa.
Oh,
and dry them about halfway overnight.
I like the grappa.
And then you give them a little more grappa and honey, and jar them up, pack them really tight with the skin still, and they hold their shape pretty nicely. And that's what I'm thinking about with those. Is when it comes to Christmas time, having that same duck breast, that same magre, having that sliced with garnish with halves of those those plums.
Wonderful. And, you can either dry your own. We have a dehydrator, and, wow, I love that thing. I mean, there's so many things. It really
it
might
saves
be a
you the
fun,
overnight.
Yeah, it's for sure. It really, it kind of takes up a lot of space. That's the only problem maybe with having a dehydrator in your home, but they're not that expensive. And you can get them where they have three or four trays, and so you can actually do a lot at one time,
so
you can kind
of
get it done
stuff.
And then put the darn thing in the basement or something, wrap it up in plastic, make sure you keep it really clean. But you can do thin apple slices that way, paper thin apple slices. You can do orange that way, and again with that I would just sprinkle it with sugar, most likely if you're doing like orange peel or orange slices or lime, any kind of citrus, or if you wanted to dry the last of your plum tomatoes, if you have some of those.
Thinking of dried citrus, that's
oh,
awesome.
God, I love dried citrus.
I guess coming out of the winter
so
into
pretty.
The spring, it's one of those things that you would want to do, but headed in right now, it's the it's October, which to me means Granny Smith's and those blue plums.
Yeah.
And the last really nice pears. I mean, you should be getting Bosques now.
Yeah, we have beautiful. I poached Bosque pears yesterday in Banyuls with we used two small they're half bottles, so two bottles of Banyuls with two cinnamon stick, two clove, and two star anise, and only reduced it maybe 25%. Oftentimes, I'll reduce that kind of poaching liquid for fruit almost by 75%, but we reduced it lightly just so that we could have a little drizzle on the plate with one of the plate ups that we were doing. But the pears, we peeled them gently. You always want to stay with the shape of the fruit.
You peel them and then poach them whole.
Mm-hmm, we do poach them whole, and then we let them sit overnight in that liquid, and they are just, oh my gosh, so good. But we're using those local Bartlett pears for that.
The classic French dish is poached in Beaujolais, which is like a light fruity red wine. Banyuls is a cool twist. Banyuls is a sweet red wine, often not fortified, but as strong as a lot of fortified wines from the Côte du Roussillon all the way on the Spanish border in the south of France. That's mostly from Grenache, and it has almost like a raisiny, spicy character to it.
I love it. I love the wine all on its own. And
when you cook it, it almost gets like bitter chocolate.
Exactly. And also, and that would be really good to eat that fruit, that poached pear with warm chocolate sauce.
French. Why not get Kara to cover it in chocolate for you and serve it whole?
And robe it. That would be so good. Oh, my gosh. They're beautiful.
How often do you get to say enrobe on a cooking program?
I don't know, but I love that word, enrobe. It's like one of my, I said like, sorry. Anyway, moving forward,
we were talking about dried fruit. We get excited on Formidable Phone Food.
We do. So the dried cherries, dried apricots, dried pears, dried. I mean, you can buy all kinds of dried fruit now, and they're in much better condition now. Let's say even 10 years ago, when you would buy something like that.
You can buy them sometimes in wine, and it's there's a cherry called.
Or you could pack it in your own wine.
Yeah.
You could take that dried fruit and macerate it, and that would be really fun to do too, and have sitting around.
That's one of the things when you learn. One of the fun things about cooking with the cycles of the season is anticipating what's going to happen next year or what might happen next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a bunch of slow roasted
strawberries.
Put away.
That's good.
Strawberries and rhubarb put away with a little ginger.
Very good. So, well, you're going to have fun this winter.
That squirrel that you were imitating early on, chasing nuts at the side of the road.
You know, I saw some lady along, what's that mall out there in Hunt Valley? Is it called Hunt Valley Mall? Okay. I saw a lady this summer picking fruit along the side of the Hunt Valley Mall. There was nowhere to pull over, or otherwise I would have. Are those wild strawberries?
If anybody knows, you have to
send me an email.
Yeah, you can email us at formidablewolf@wypr.org and tell us all your stories of mall-gathered fruits.
When we
come back to Formidable Wolf on Food & Wine, we'll get into things that are not either fruity or nutty for cooking in autumn on Formidable Wolf on Food & Wine.